went to church or whether you're out in the woods or wherever you're at. If you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you've asked him to forgive you, it's done. Instantaneously, you're a new creature. But here at Shield of Faith, we don't want you just to get into the kingdom. Heaven is great. We want you to produce and not have this gift of grace in vain, but have it have some fruit. So he goes on, says this, not of works, no one can boast. Verse 10, we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. You and I are created for good works. What are the good works? If the Lord has put it in his word, it is good works. If you never produce good works, can we expect to get a harvest of good works? No, because it's not about salvation anymore. It's about producing what God has promised when he said, all things that pertain to life and godliness are in here. And it's all ours. And the only reason most Christians don't operate in it is because they don't realize they got a place in this to do something. Not to get you saved, but you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Paul teaching Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul is telling Timothy, you're in for a fight. How many know when you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're in for a fight? He told Timothy, young Timothy, fight the good fight of believing or faith. In other words, the fight that we're fighting for is not a flesh and blood, but it's fighting for that which is good. Amen. And that's why we're standing and believing God. Now, we know that we can be full and run on empty. How do we stay full? PK mentioned, we praise. We read the word. We have a communication with God. All these things keeps us ever filled, like Ephesians 5:18 says, be ever filled with this Holy Ghost. If you're running on empty, praise the Lord. Begin to read his word. Talk with him. Let him know, hey, I'm here. I'm ready for a new filling. Fill me up again. So you're always running tapped off. I always like when you have farm equipment or whatever, they say, whatever you do, try to in the winter run that baby with full of gas so that condensation doesn't build up, so it doesn't run as good. I'm telling you, God wants us to stay filled to make a difference so we don't have this in vain. Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says this to believers, verse 7. Do not be confused. Yours may say, don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. God is not mocked. Whatever a man or woman sows, that is what they will reap. Did we not just hear that we're created in Christ Jesus for good what? Works. So if we sow good works, God's not going to be mocked. That's what we're looking to receive. And it goes on. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. We all know that there's a battle going on inside. We know we got this stinking flesh that always wants to direct us off course. And when we follow through on it, it doesn't nail us so we don't go to heaven, but we surely don't want the fruit that comes from sowing to the flesh. Amen? But it says if you sow to the Spirit, it says you will reap this everlasting life in this life on heaven or on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want the body of Christ to realize. We can make a difference. I believe we're responsible for this community, and I believe every Christian. There was 50-some thousand that gathered at Washington, D.C. praying for their nation. I believe when they go home, they're responsible for their neighborhoods. We hook up and pray and believe God for what's going on, but it still comes back to if we want to see good fruit, we got to release good works. Amen? And so it says, and let us not grow weary while doing what?
Good.
For in the season we shall reap if we do not lose our heart or lose heart. That's why we're here to encourage one another. When things don't go or things aren't looking right. I'm ministering to Brooke's grandpa yesterday, and he was troubled in some areas of what's this be and so forth. I says, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, brother, the mind is trying to get you off course. There is a battle going on, and he loses because your home is heaven, and if we get a miracle, that's even better. Amen? But the key is there's a fight going on, a good fight that we're in, We don't know the day or the hour. We know that God controls that. We know he understands. But we do our part to control the area. That's why I challenge you, first year, be praying for your community. Be praying for your neighbors. Be praying for the businesses in your neighborhood, because that is good work, because he says you have not because you ask not. So we're asking, Lord, to bless our neighbors because that's what you've told me to do. You've told me to be a blessing to others and not just get to heaven. Amen? Verse 10, therefore, as we are going to have opportunities, let us do good to all, especially to those who are believers or the household of faith. Our good works should include doing good to all, but especially to believers. That's why we never criticize other believers that go to other places, because if they're a believer, they're our brothers and sisters. Amen? And so how we do good is we look to be a blessing, to be an encouragement to others. Say others. Others is a good thing. So now that we got the fire, now that we got the power, we are created to do good works, fight the good fight. Amen? And we know what Jesus said in John 14, 12. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, and he told his disciples this: the things I do, you're going to do. And greater than what I do, you're going to do. Because he knew Holy Ghost was in him. He could only be in one place at one time. But when this Holy Ghost was going to be released, believers would be everywhere. We're not looking at a Saginaw group of believers only. We are united with believers around the world, and especially in this nation. We do not stand alone. Amen. Greater are those that are in us in the form of the Holy Ghost that's in our brothers and sisters than anything the enemy would bring our way. In due season, as we have opportunities, we're to do good and to realize that. Now, someone says, well, if we're going to do, what did Jesus do? Well, let's stop and think about it a second. Acts 10:38 says this: how God the Father anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. Have we been anointed with the Holy Ghost? And with power. Have we been anointed with power? He then immediately went about doing good. There's the good. Healing all that were oppressed by the who? Devil. The devil. Our enemy. What was Jesus' mission? To defeat the devil and to set people free. What is our mission? Is to keep the devil where he belongs, under our feet, and help be used to be an encouragement and a freer to others. James 2, last foundational thing here before we talk about the practicalities of it. James chapter 2. James, studying, if you study the book of James, they believe it was the brother of Jesus. Some believe it might have been one of the disciples. If it's the brother of Jesus, he didn't believe in Jesus at the start, but he surely did after the resurrection. But one of my favorite books, but I'm picking it up at verse 14, to us believers. It says this: what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith or he has belief, but he does not have works? Can faith save himself? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things that they need? Thus 17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, or it's zero, or it's vain. In other words, it's not talking about heaven here. If we're going to be beneficial to others, we got to have some actions behind what we believe in. Because if we want the fruit, we got to implement the seed. And everything reproduces after its own kind. So as we plant the seeds of love, joy, peace, forgiveness, that's what we're looking to harvest. And so he says that, verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith is made perfect. Jumping down to verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. We're talking about being fruitful and being a blessing to others. We're not talking about salvation here. Verse 26. The body without the spirit is dead. Faith without works is dead also. So anybody that says, hey, you don't have to do good works, you don't. But if you want to get good fruit, you got to plant good works, because we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works because of what he did and what he gave us. He didn't just give us a bag of toys. He gave us the Holy Ghost and the kingdom of heaven that's to be lived out on earth as it is in heaven. In fact, he told the disciples in the Gospels to pray that the kingdom would come, the will would be done here as it's already going on in heaven. I'm here to tell you that when he went to heaven and sent us the Holy Ghost, it was instantaneous. The kingdom has come. And when you receive him, you have the kingdom on earth as it already is going on in heaven. So when we see an outpouring and we see people praising and worshiping God, that's what they're doing in heaven too. We get to see this and benefit from it. So what are you going to do if you're full of fire, Nat? Step out and look to be used. We have to break this religious spirit that says, oh, only the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers and the prophets and the apostles have this powerful anointing. No, every believer has it. Way before I was a pastor, signs and wonders and praying, and I thought, why isn't everybody else doing it? Because almost like they've been in bondage to slave masters, they said, no, get them to us at the top. We're the one. Bring them to church. We'll help set them free. No, you are the church. Go free somebody. Amen. You got the power of God on you. You got the same Holy Ghost in you. And the reason the enemy likes us to think we got to get them to some religious setting is because he hinders the outpouring of God. Because once the believers get a hold of this and they realize wherever I go, the Holy Ghost goes with me, and I've got kingdom power to be released, all of a sudden he is in desperate fear because he realizes he's losing his grip on something he has no rights to, because Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom. And he told us whatever we bound down here would be bound in heaven, and the devil knows that. So if he keeps you quiet, oh, I'll go to church and put in my time. That's great. We love to see everybody. But that's not going to make a difference in your workplace or in your play place or in your recreational place. What's going to make a difference is works that are blessings, planting seeds. Let's talk about that. If we're full of God, and what you're saying, Pastor, is true, let me just look at some of the things Jesus did. First of all, do you know one of the major things he did was to forgive people and ask the Lord when he was on the cross? He says, Father, forgive them, and don't even hold them accountable for it. Do you know that one of the toughest things for Christians to do is forgive people that have hurt them? It's easy to forgive people that like you, but can you forgive those that have done you wrong? Sometimes it can even be in a household. We can't forgive our loved ones. They're the hardest ones, the ones we love the most. Jesus said those were good works. And then he says, and free them from having to reap. You know what the scripture says? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And we know God won't be mocked. Whatever a person sows, he's going to reap. Unless we come on the scene and we break that. Remember Stephen? He was picked out as one of these full of the Holy Ghost and power and fire to go about to help the believers. Do you know that when he was about to die and be stoned, he cries out with a loud voice, Lord, I forgive them, and I ask you don't even lay it to their account. I mean, he's going to heaven, so that wasn't big. You know what happened when he did that? Saul, who would eventually be Paul, was listening, and he was flabbergasted, couldn't believe this guy could forgive him and even ask that he be freed. You know what? Everyone that killed him didn't have to reap what they sowed. Because the Lord says we have the power to forgive. Believers do. That's because of the Holy Ghost. I was thinking back when we first became a church 30 years ago. I remember that most of our enemies was not unbelievers. Most of my enemies were other churches. I had ministered full gospel chapters all over the place. We'd had a lot of good fruit in that. But once they found out that Pastors Weldon and Kathy are starting a church here, all of a sudden, words started coming in from other pastors. Oh, why do they not like you? Why are they thinking you're way outside the boundaries? Why do they think you're crazy? And I remember just smiling and thinking, gosh, these are some of my good friends. Why are they saying that? And as time went on, the Lord taught me, we're going to forgive them. They're our brothers and sisters. And Lord, we're going to ask you not to even lay it to their account. In other words, I want to run into these wherever I run into them, in restaurants, whatever, and I want to be able to, hey, how you doing? I don't want to harbor anything. That's the good works. You ask for forgiveness and then free people so they don't have to reap what they got coming. Oh, we want to go right to raising the dead, but that's what Jesus did too, amen? Let me give you another thing. He comforted the body. That's a good works when you comfort others. When you come to church, as Pastor Mike was sharing, you're an encouragement to others. It's like, wow, you haven't got into the bad habit like Russell taught on, where we've stayed home so long, we're into that habit of not fellowshipping anymore. But we're to be a comfort to one another. If you're not around the body, how can you be a comfort to them? Remember Jesus when he approached the adulterous woman? They were about to stone her. The stoners were there, you know, looking to stone. Do you know that his whole mission was restoration to the whole package? I mean, he addressed you with no sin, cast the first stone, and of course they all dropped the stones, and she's all broken, and he says, and I don't condemn you either. And then he tells her, go and sin no more. But do you know how encouraging that had to been to every one of those men that knew they were guilty? That was positive challenge to them because they dropped it. That sounds like a pretty good to straighten them right up. That's, we look for ways to be a blessing to others, to comfort those. How about when the woman at the well, and he told her everything about her, and you know, that's not your husband, you've had about seven of them. That wasn't negative, that was positive. That was encouragement. Wow, this person knows my life, brings a bunch of other people. What happens? People get saved. Remember Paul on the ship? He was going to Greece or in that area, and the Lord says, hey, there's going to be some storms. Ship's going to be destroyed, but the guys and gals, if there were gals on, I think just guys, they're going to be saved. That wasn't a negative confession. That was truth. What happened to the ship? It was destroyed. What happened to all the sailors? They were saved. Do you see an encouragement? Is encouraging people, if you're getting close to the edge, don't go over the edge. If you're getting close to being in a place of harm, don't go any further. That's not negative. That's positive. That's encouragement. That's the word of God. We're to be a comfort to one another. I was over at, like I said, Ken and Nancy's, and this was Friday night. And they're trying to encourage the family, and of course, Brooke's mother, Vicky, was there, which is a sister to Lisa, which you know, and stuff. And, of course, her dad, then came Robert. But we're sitting there, and we're encouraging. And out of the blue, Brooke looks at her mom, then at me. Would it be okay if I read these scriptures to Grandpa? And, of course, right now I'm getting pretty blessed. Wow. Generation thinking of others. And the scriptures she picked out were some of my favorite ones. Romans 8, I mean, it's like, gosh, and it was so, I saw Grandpa just move around. I thought, wow, that was good. I saw Grandma just cool. I saw her aunt, her mom, and also Pastor here. That was encouraging. But see, when Randy and Lisa, Pastors Randy and Lisa, when those youth were up there, it wasn't like, oh, shoot, I didn't get to minister last week. It was like, wow, how encouraging to see our kids do everything. There's hope that next generation. What a blessing. I've often said serving God is not an age thing. It's a God thing. To have a worship team of all ages, have a ministry of all ages, that's what it's all about. We're not an old fogies church. We're not a teenager's church. We're a God church. Amen. Filled with God-filled people that are hungry and they want more because they know there's more available. That's how we release the good works. We look for avenues to be a blessing. We sacrifice some of our own time to get to places that we can be an encouragement. We come to cell group. I'll be honest with you. I don't always say, oh, I can't wait to get to cell group. No, there's times I do it because I know it'll be a blessing to others. Pastor Mike and I in prayer every day, 12 to 1, and people come to it. I got to be honest. I don't say, yay, I can't wait to pray for another hour. No, it's a way that we bless you because all your names come up and we pray blessings and breakthroughs. It's because we're doing good. And what happens? I get it back because I reap what I sow, and I feel that back. So if you get down and you're feeling, my gosh, I'm running on empty, look for ways to be a blessing to others. Plant some seeds of blessing. Say some encouraging words. Send some cards to somebody that you know could be encouraged with a card. Look at a relative that's not serving the Lord and tell them, I'm thinking of you and I'm praying for you today. Watch what will happen when you implement the kingdom. It's good. Oh, man, I've been preaching. It's only 2:45 still. Yes. Cool. Amen. Supernatural things. God is looking to release the supernatural. This is when people get scared. I used to teach a fellowship of Christian athletes in Hemlock with kids in different backgrounds but Christians. We'd come together. And it was always exciting to see what God would do and how he would show up. I'm telling you, there is so much supernatural power available if we'll step out and release it. And I remember how saddened I was when one of my guys got beat to a pulp. And I said, did you rise up and bind that spirit in the name of Jehovah? No, I forgot to use the name of Jesus. I'm thinking, folks, if we don't implement what we know to do, how do we expect to get the fruit of what we already know? God says, I give you all authority. He's given it to us, but if we don't use it, we don't get the benefits. But when we do use it, we get the benefits. I was thinking of, and you've heard me share the story of, they moved me down into the middle school, and I'm teaching a history class. And actually, it was a social study. It was a seventh grade class. And we're reading in our history books in public school. It was talking about the Hebrews were the first ones to serve God. So I asked the kids in my class, I says, how many of you have a Bible at home? They all raise their hands enthusiastically. Yes, yeah, we got Bibles. I says, this is your homework. Go research a historical event that took place in the Bible, then report back. Kind of like a little report. Oh, they came all back. They were all excited except one little boy. He came up with a note that says, my mom and dad will be in to see you right after school. And I thought, and I've always said, well, you know, when a man's ways please the Lord, he causes even your enemies to be at peace with you. The ACLU had already come into our school, took our Christian bulletin board down. The principal says, Miss Towns, I hate to have to do this, but I got a parent that's complaining because you've got that Christian bulletin board that prays for the teachers, prays blessings on the school. It's pretty dangerous, you know. So I understood, took it down. We didn't have that anymore. So this mom and dad come into my room, and I'm in a classroom. It's down in the area that would be like fifth and sixth grade down through the corridor. And I'm sitting in my classroom, and in this classroom there was desks that have the arm hooked to them. If you want to see a tongue lashing, these two came in and they read me the riot act. Now remember, we're looking at the supernatural. I'm not pastoring. I'm just a believer of God and knowing that he's with me, he'll never leave me. They begin to tell me, you should be in a Christian school and maybe prophesy. That's why we had a Christian school for 12 years. We don't want God in here, you know, and so forth. And, you know, no big deal, you know. Then all of a sudden, they begin to attack Jesus. Whoa. And I looked them in their chairs. As God is my witness, I share with you. I looked at the two couple and I says, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And their desk. You've heard of people getting slain in the spirit? These two desks went backwards and crashed. I mean, I really wanted to laugh. I'm thinking, God, you're so humorous. They crashed right in the back. There was a Tom Borchers that was a teacher in there, and he looked and said, what's happened? I said, don't worry, we're all set. The mother rolled out, and she literally crawled out of my room. The dad broke and said he had trained at one time to be a Catholic priest. And he got so turned off with the church that he wanted nothing to do. So it was like the whole atmosphere changed. He allowed me to minister to him, encourage him, and say, don't blame God for religion, okay? There's a lot of good people in the Catholic Church. It's like in most churches. So it was a tool of healing. I would love to say, yes, he knelt there and asked Jesus Christ to come into his life. But I'm telling you, God's humorous. We don't realize the power that we have available. And what I found to my mistake that I had to learn from, when I began to share all these supernatural things, people started to put me on some pedestal. then all of a sudden I realize they weren't looking for them to be used. They wanted me to be the one they would go after. And what I saw, that's just producing religion again. It's all about getting them some King Kong ministries when all along God says, get them to believers. Because they're full of the Holy Ghost and fire and power. They just haven't been operating that way. But why not start? Amen? So casting out devils. Jesus did it all the time. We know that, right? Oh, devils, now you're really... Devils are nothing. They've already been defeated by Jesus. There's no fear. And then I was thinking how Paul, they said how God did unusual miracles by him, that even clothes came off him and it drove out spirits. Do you know that your clothes is anointed because it's on you? Do you know that demons and devils can't stand you? Do you know you have all authority over the forces of darkness? And I'm here to tell you there are demons and devils. One time we had a situation in our classroom. My wife and I, we had a woman that the aunt and uncle said, hey, we got this woman, it's a niece, and she's got bite marks coming on all of her arms, and nobody in Saginaw, but we heard you would cast out devils. Can we bring her? Or actually, they said, would you bring her down to the east side up in the attic? I said, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to the upper room, but if you bring him to the school, yeah, well, if she wants to be freed. So she comes in, school's going on, we had classes going on. We told a construction person that didn't understand this, it may be a little different, and we never know what to expect. My wife and I go into this room, and we begin to see, and she was snarling, and she was making all this hissing, and we took authority. We said, in the name of Jesus, we come against every spirit that's attaching, and literally, she levitated right there before us. And if we weren't so wondering what in the world's going on, I mean, I'd like to say, yeah, I know all this. This is just a piece of cake. I'm telling you, God is humorous. She levitated, pulled her skirt over her head, over my head. My wife was at the feet. But I'm thinking, this is like out of a movie, The Exorcist. I'm thinking, okay, God. So we continue to bind that spirit, and it released her. And her eyes were natural. And she ran around our church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the aunties and the uncles that carried her in. It's a miracle, Jesus. It's a miracle. And I thought, God does that just so that we see that we have the authority. So one more story. So I'm sitting in my office, and I get a call from a military guy that's on leave. And this guy calls me and says, I went to this cemetery in Hemlock where it's known for manifestations of devils. And some of you know which one I'm talking about. And I got there and I got attacked. It's terrible. I got a hold of my base. And they said, you better talk to the chaplain. He said, where's the chaplain at? Oh, he's on leave. You better go see a pastor. So he remembered what his grandma said when he gave his heart to the Lord. This was somebody that had given his heart to the Lord. He called his grandma. She says, find a church. He goes through the phone book. If you've ever looked at all the churches in a phone book, he came to Shield of Faith. Now, some of you aren't laughing because you know God directed you supernaturally. And he said, I don't understand. I know this is going to probably freak you out, but I need to tell you what's happening since we visited a cemetery. And I'm getting harassed. And even now, it's just like these demons are attacking me. I says, what did your grandma tell you? He says, I need it to get back to church. I says, this is what your grandma said was just exactly right. You need to get back with God. He says, okay. So he gave his heart back to the Lord on the phone. I says, now we're going to bind the enemy. We're going to command him to release. And when we did that instantaneous, he says, they left me. At the very same time, a person in about 50 years young had been sharing with me that in his attic, he was hearing furniture move and talks every day. And I noticed that once we were done, and this guy says, oh, thank you very much. I saw him excuse himself and get up and leave to go home. Less than a week later, he says, Pastor, I went and did exactly what you told him, and I don't hear any noises, no furniture's moving anymore. I share that because it's not about Pastor Weldon. It's about the power of God in believers, that you can command them to leave. All the time, Pastor Michael, oh, we're having spirits. And if that person wants to be freed and you're a believer, It's not a fear. You just, in the name of Jesus, cast them out. We've had them in our home when we come from a meeting, and my wife is sure she's seeing this weird look, and I says, honey, open the door. We command you to go in Jesus' name and be gone. It's not a scary thing, but it's something you got to do if it's needed to be done, because you got all authority to take authority over the principalities and powers of darkness. But if you never operate, I mean, there was a house in Merrill for the longest time. Police were going in there, oh my gosh, this is happening and such and such. And you know, the temptation is we ought to go clean it out. But that's not how it works. Well, how it works is where God has given us authority. And what you don't want to do is try to clean house to somebody that really doesn't want to give it up. Because I'm telling you what, they may leave, but it's going to be a bigger attacks because they're going to bring their buddies back. You don't mess with trying to clean a house of somebody that does not want to be a believer. If they do, go ahead. I mean, we've had so many hilarious things. My wife was chasing a person down in our hometown. We called her Pop Bottle Annie, and she didn't want to be freed, and my wife's just trying to cast the devil out of her. She come back, we had a good laugh, but do you realize if we never try anything, it never works? We've got some, we laugh about it, but that's how ridiculous. How many funeral homes I've been in? The Lord used me to raise my dad. He had left us, and the doctors come in. Of course, I commanded life back into my father, and he came back. He lived 20-some more years and so forth. In fact, at the end of his life, he says, son, whatever, please don't call me back. But I remember in this Niles Hospital, the nurses and everybody, and my whole family's out there praying in tongues, praying in the spirit. And afterwards, the orderlies are trying to push in to put the old paddles on my dad. And I grab my dad, and it's nothing worse than seeing a lifeless guy and I command life to come back into him. And immediately, he opens his eyes. Oh, my gosh, I thought maybe I was going to heaven. The orderlies and the nurses and that come around. What kind of religion are you? Just Christian. Just believe that God. And someone says, wow, that's great. There's been times I've rode in the ambulance with one of my wrestler's dads all the way there, cast out death, nothing happened. You see, I'm not going to stop. It's not me. I don't heal anybody. I don't set anybody free. But I am a tool that God uses, and so are you. So if you never do it, how do you know you can't set somebody free? You got to get beyond the fear factor into the faith factor, which is the belief factor that says the things that Jesus did, you'll do in greater than these, because he never leaves us. And if you're not careful, you're going to be like a lot of religious folks that think, well, I got to get to this meeting because they're really powerful. I'm not saying there's not power in meetings, but I'm telling you, it's about believers that know who they are in Christ, that takes authority over their situations, and that's what moves mountains. And you got it. Russell was just releasing last week, and I know I've teased him a lot, but I'm telling you, there were things that hit you, didn't they? Same anointing, just flow. Cammie, when you did communion, it was. Spence back there gets up there, and I thought, man, I thought he'd been doing that for a way of life. Shares on offering. I'm thinking, gosh, who is this kid? One of ours. In Jesus' name. Doing a good job, pastors. Keep it up. Praise God. We can do all things through Christ that heals us. Amen. Don't ever rule out. One time I was at a meeting, doing a full gospel meeting, and the next day I'm in Dowagiac. That's where I come from. And the pharmacist says, oh, my worker's got cancer. Oh, and she couldn't make the meeting. Will you come over? I said, sure, I'll come over. I went over there, and she was a very devout Christian. So I says, well, Jesus is the healer. We'll pray. We prayed. I left. We got a card. 2 weeks later, she went in. The doctor says, I don't know what happened. You're absolutely cancer-free. She says, I screamed. And I said, thank you, Jesus. See, if we never look to be used, you're not the healer. He is. You're the hands he uses. You're the feet that takes you places. You're the voice that he uses. But he's still God, and we're his kids. And you still can do all things through Christ, and we still have authority. So when you're seeing things are not going and darkness looks like it's all over the place and gross darkness is on the people, no problem. Greater is he that's in us. And Father God, I'm speaking to those 30 million Christians that aren't even registered to vote. Be alert, be alert, and don't complain, and do your part in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands on your stomach where the Holy Ghost lives. Say this: thank you, Jesus, for filling me with the Holy Ghost and power. I stir the fire up within me. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I will step out of my comfort zone and be there to be encouragement to others. In Jesus' name. And if you've tuned in today, or if you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you might not understand what's going on. But what's going on is Jesus is exciting us. And I want you to know that when you ask God to forgive you your past and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, He comes in and you become a new creature and you get the Holy Ghost. It's at that point you decide, are you just happy to get to heaven? Or do you want to find a Bible study like what Brooke says? I got to get in and study the Word. And if you do, you'll find out the tools that are already yours to begin to use. And I just touched on a few of them. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone that tuned in. That if they didn't know the Lord, they are now. And they're going to step out. We thank you, Lord, that our communities are going to be changed as we implement the Word of God. Father, I thank you for every life that you brought. Thank you for all our visitors, but thank you for our regulars, Lord. Thank you that you've touched their lives. You're encouraging them. And, Lord, we thank you that what you've begun in them, you is not done. And we thank you you're going to use them in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Welcome one another. Greet one another. God bless you.